Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to Flow Guitar Enthusiasts with Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we welcome Matt Picone, unofficially known as the Director of Everything at Fractal Audio. The right-hand man to the CEO has been working behind the scenes in the audio industry since 1980. He's also in charge of artist support with Axe FX and has worked with the likes of Dweezil Zappa, John Petrucci, Steve Vai, and The Edge. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. We got a good one for you tonight. Hey, Scott, how are you doing?
I am doing good. I once again want to remind our listeners to make sure to go to flowguitarenthusiast.com to sign up for the Audio Technica mic giveaway. We're giving away two vocal mics, ATM 510 and ATM 610A, to two different winners, so one mic per winner. And actually, I wanted to thank Audio Technica. They sent an Instagram out for that giveaway today on their Instagram account, so that was very nice of them. And then, again, I want to thank everyone. Last week I had mentioned that the auction for Andy over at ZVEX and his family that was held on Reverb.com had officially ended yesterday. So thanks to everyone for participating in that. It was a great auction to benefit a wonderful family over at ZVEX.
Oh, that's cool. Just a little news. I got a call today. I'll be working on another album for Those American Girls. It's tentatively called Bikini Dance Party, and I'll let you guys know what I have to do on it, but it'll be some interesting.
Hopefully not wear a bikini.
No. I'll be playing guitar.
Sweet.
They wear the bikinis. I play the guitar. But anyway, I'll get you more news on that, and hopefully I can discuss a little more about how I did it and talk about gear and stuff on what I used on the album. But to learn more about them, www.thoseamericangirls.com and at Twitter at @ThoseUSAGirls. And also their Alicia American and Debbie Serendipity American are their Facebook pages. Anyway, check them out. They're kind of funny. They're great people, and they're fun to work with. So anyway, I'll keep you posted on that. Let's go ahead and go to break, and let's just get right into this because we got some interesting stuff here with Fractal Audio. I think this is going to be a really good show. So we'll be right back with Matt.
Hi, this is Aaron Raby, your resident guitars and amps geek at Sweetwater Sound. 1-800-222-4700 or catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. Sweetwater is proud to partner with The Flow in bringing you the latest and greatest in all guitar-related things, be it tone, be it artists and musicians, their secrets on their tone, amplification, and live performance. We at Sweetwater are just as passionate as the folks on The Flow in bringing you what we consider to be the best in pro audio equipment and guitar and PA gear. Give us a call and we'll discuss gear whenever you like. Our number here is 800-222-4700. And again, you can catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. I'm Aaron Raby, and thanks again for listening.
Hi, this is Elliot Easton of The Empty Hearts, and you're listening to Scott and Jeff on the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts.
All
All right, well, I want to welcome back everyone, and I want to welcome officially Matt Picone from Fractal Audio. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, it's an honor to have you on, and appreciate you being on here so late. I know you're over on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah, just to get started, I mean, tell us kind of the story behind Fractal Audio and then kind of how that company came about and the Axe FX.
Sure. All right. Well, Fractal Audio, I mean, it's kind of a classic story at this point. It's it really began when our founder, Cliff Chase, decided that he wanted to make a change in his own gear. He was a pro guitar player, and working as an engineer by day and playing in a cover band. And as the story goes, he went out, I guess, to a guitar shop near him or guitar center or something like that, and he picked up what was in 2005, thereabouts, this leading-edge digital guitar processor. And he got it home and says, you know, basically he said to himself, oh my God, what have I done? What, you know, is this it? Is this what everybody's going so crazy about? I want my amp back. Get it out of here. And, you know, was sort of shocked knowing all he knew in his day gig about digital technology, that the thing wasn't absolutely amazing. He had had effects processors and, in, you know, a big rack full of gear, and got this all in one box and was just shattered with disappointment. And he said he decided sort of right there on the spot, he's like, you know, I've often thought that the stuff we use at work could make an incredible guitar processor. And he set to it and decided to build himself one. And lo and behold, that one turned into, you know, the many, many units that are out there in the world today. I think kind of some interesting corollaries to that are the fact that his day job was working with sonar, you know, like the submarine stuff.
Interesting.
And I don't know exactly the, you know, the details of this story, but legend holds that he invented a machine that you mounted on the bottom of a boat, and it drives you around the ocean until it finds diamond mines underwater.
Oh, really?
And they like would drop down a vacuum and bring up diamonds as big as your head, things like that. So I guess that company that he was working for had some changes, and he decided, well, you know what? I think that this guitar processor that I made here could actually be something cool that the world would be interested. Maybe I could sell a few hundred of these a year. So he cashed in his 401k and started a little company in his kitchen and started making what would become the first Axe FX. He used to put them together all by himself with help from his wife. And like I said, he literally was hopeful that maybe he could sell 100, 200 of these things in a year. You know, we can do that on a good day now. It's just, it's really exceeded anybody's wildest dreams. So that product, the original Axe FX, took off in a really cool way. It kind of took off just around the time when the internet was starting to turn into a social viral thing. It was the time of forums and the time of just the burgeoning of social communications. I can't quite say social media. They weren't calling it that yet. But his product, he sold a couple, and it kind of developed this underground, almost cult-like following at the very beginning. And you know the way that anything can become viral. Well, the Fractal did. And soon he found that the demand was growing enough that he could make some improvements, do another product. And before he knew it, he had a business in his hands with a really viable, hardcore, high-end boutique digital technology at its foundation. And his philosophy, you know, being that he built the first one for himself, his philosophy was, you know, I'm just going to do this right. I'm going to do what I want this thing to be as a guitar player. So there was no board of directors, there was no sort of back and forth with marketing departments, none of that. He just made the thing that he wanted, and people really seemed to appreciate that. you know, the company's first motto was, I think something like no compromises. And he stuck by that. Years passed, and the Axe FX by that time was in its second iteration called the Ultra. And some really serious guitar players started getting into the Ultra. Pro players who thought that they had heard something about a unit that might sound great. I think there was maybe a couple units floating around NAMM in the latter part of that decade. And the Ultra just exploded, absolutely exploded. That's about the time that I discovered Fractal. And there was it was a very, very small company, just, you know, 2-3 people and some warehouse folks to ship the orders. The units made in New Hampshire and Massachusetts. And Cliff couldn't put them together in his kitchen anymore, so he got a little shop and set it up, and things really started to take off from there. So with the Ultra sort of soaring, you know, it, like I said, it started to get picked up by some serious pro artists. Some of the early birds on our list were Dweezil Zappa and Steve Vai and a whole host of others. My first gigs were with Adrian Ballou and Scott Appleton, who was teching for Neil Sean and Def Leppard at the time. We kind of knew that the time was right to take it to the next level. So the Axe FX 2 was conceived and created around 2010, 2011. And that newer platform had twice as many processors as the previous Axe FX products it had. And that really set the stage for sort of full-blown explosion. By now, what had previously been a small cult on forums was, you know, we had our own forum, and it's one of the busiest music forums online, and social media, and just tons of artists, especially young artists who also sort of have this very vocal outreach approach to talking about the gear they use. And it blossomed in a wonderful way. So in the spirit of sort of continuous improvement, continuous evolution, the Axe FX 2 turned into the Axe FX 2 XL earlier this year. And we've added some other products along the way. There's a suite of software that works with the Axe FX, a wonderful on-screen editor program so that you can see and do everything that you want without looking at a tiny screen. There's some companion software products as well. Cab Lab allows you to create your own speaker cab sounds by mixing together different mic tones and speaker sounds. FractalBot is a little companion use for upgrades or backups. And we make a dedicated foot controller as well called the MFC-101. So with an Axe FX and an MFC-101, a guitar player can really have everything that they would have ever had in a traditional big rig, amps, effects, you know, a controller on the floor. In fact, a whole array of different rigs in one, all in one box. And that idea in itself is just tremendously appealing to a lot of people. I mean, the range of people who come to Fractal varies from folks who just wish they had all the gear ever made, or wish they had, you know, all the favorites that they had let go over the eBay years. Ranges from that to people who just like to tinker and say, wow, I want to just create without limits, to people who simply say, oh my God, if I had this thing, I could save, you know, thousands a year in cartage costs, or I wouldn't have to break my back lugging a 4x12 up and down fire escape at the end of every gig on Saturday so I can get it to church on Sunday. There's a whole world of reasons why this all-in-one, ultra-light, ultra-powerful, and yet still perfectly realistic system is appealing to people. So with that said, I mean, the company continues to really grow and thrive. Our customer base and our engineers and designers interact with each other in a wonderful sort of living way. And that's where we are today. We've actually just sort of broken out of the Axe FX mold for the first time in announcing a new product, which is an effects processor floor unit that's designed for people who still want to use traditional amps but want all of the great effect sounds that Fractal has come to be known for. So does that kind of answer the question of the story behind Fractal?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, on the original Axe FX that Cliff had built, now, was that just like guitar effects, or did it have amp and speaker cabinet simulations back then?
Yeah, it was an all-in-one unit back then. It had amp simulations and speaker cab simulations, the whole hog. In fact, the amp block of the Axe FX, which is that, you know, the block that allows it to sound like any amplifier, was one of the first ones that he really, you know, went in depth on. I think there was a reverb and maybe a delay first, and then he said, "All right, it's time." So, like I said, he had come to this idea of a digital guitar product by looking at one of these other all-in-one guitar systems and just finding, well, you know, it aliases, the cleans aren't really clean, the dynamics, you know, it would just be the same sound only quieter instead of having all the real vibrant dynamics that a real tube amp has. So he took a totally different approach, even with that early amp block, and he decided to physically model all of the components that make up a given amp. So it's not just a snapshot and say, hey, what's this tone like, or what's this distortion characteristic like? It's actually recreations of all the different elements, even inside of the tubes, that make that thing up, and they're physically modeled in the digital space. So it's, you know, the amp sims have been really the crown jewel dating back to that first Axe FX standard.
How did he do that? I mean, did he basically pull down like schematics and he tried to basically convert those schematics into, you know, the digital world, basically?
That's exactly right. The schematic is an important part. I mean, actually looking at the amp, right? Because the schematic is schematics are half the time they're wrong. So actually looking at the amps and understanding the way they're put together, he's really become a sort of an amp tech through the course of doing all this. I mean, there's a modularity to it. By that I mean there are sort of bigger systems inside of an amplifier, right? There's the input and the preamp tubes and the tone stack and, you know, the power amp. All these different components are treated as larger systems, but inside of those, the amount of detail is just incredible.
Now with your guys' amp and cabinet simulations, I mean, I saw that you guys are advertising that you do try to simulate both the preamp and the power sections.
Yep, and the phase inverter and the power amp tubes. I mean, the preamp tubes, all of it. It's got to be end to end.
Now, how detailed can that get? I mean, like, for instance, can you take, like, let's say a Marshall 800 or whatever, JCM 800, and then you can say, hey, I want to put in JJ tubes in there. Can you do something like that? I mean, where you can simulate different kinds of tubes, or I want Russian tubes, or I want, you know, cheap Chinese tubes or whatever. I mean,
you can change the tube characteristics. We don't speak of it in terms of Russian or JJ. I mean, we speak about different characteristics of tubes in a more, I don't know, more granular way. We talk about basically what is, you know, we looked at what are the differences, the key differences between different types of tubes, and we let you tweak that.
Okay. And then can you kind of talk about, because I know that there's other products out there that that are built to basically take your own setup and emulate the sound, and then you guys have now are able to do that. How does that work and with your guys' system, and what does it do differently?
Yeah, I just want to back up and say one more thing about the power tubes.
Sure.
We wouldn't necessarily, like I said, we don't talk about it as JJ or Chinese or whatever, but you could, for example, you know, you could take that Marshall and say, what would happen if I put KT-88s in it? Or what would happen if I could put, you know, some totally different type of tube? What if I put an EL-84 in that 800? That sort of thing you can do. So I think that answers the question a little more broadly.
Okay.
You know, as to different brands of tubes, that's, you know, that's,
well, yeah,
that's,
I mean,
maybe a little extreme for us right now, even
well,
in at the sort of summit of guitar geekdom, but it is a cool idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know that you wouldn't put the names of them anyhow. I mean, probably hint towards them, but I mean,
maybe someday, based on.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, can you kind of talk about how if, like, you know, if I've got this, you know, a classic twin or something, and then that to me is my sound, right? Well, if I want to have that in the Axe FX, because I don't want to haul that thing, you know, to Florida and break it, how do I do that?
Okay, well, let's first sort of get an idea of what is a classic twin, right? Because your classic twin is going to be different from the next guy's classic twin. It's going to be different from maybe somebody else's idea of a twin. So I think the first thing you would do if you were dialing in an Axe FX to create the sound of an amp like that is to try and figure out which of the models on board corresponds to the one that you're trying to recreate. And the way the industry works, we have to obfuscate the names and twist the language around, but it's okay to say that things are based on other things. So we have a model called the Double Verb, and the Double Verb is based on a twin.
Okay.
So the easiest thing you might do is just twist through the presets until you find the one that's the Double Verb. It's in the first 10 presets, and you could play that and listen to it for a little while, and you could say, well, that's pretty cool, or, you know, mine sounds a little different than this. Let's see what we can do to get a little closer. Now, with the basic front end circuit being the same in the twin that you play and the one that we've modeled, probably the next thing I would say that would be the most important to the sound of that amp is the sound of its speaker. And, you know, different twins might have actually different speakers. So I'd go to the cab block, and I'd try a couple of the different Fender twins that we've shot impulses of. We did a really great mix of a vintage twin where it had a Royer 121, you know, right in the sweet spot, and a 57, or I think it's an M160, something like that. And of course, there are more takes on how to mic a twin and what that speaker is going to sound like than you could ever imagine. So if you had even a more specific way that you like your amp to sound, you could actually mic up your amp, create an IR, an impulse response, using the tools built into the Axe FX, and take the sound of that amp's speakers and your desired way of miking them and load that into your Axe FX. And at that point, you know, even really diehard amp snobs have a hard time telling the difference between the model and the real thing. And of course, I mean, you could even say that because it's a virtual digital recreation of the amp, you can go in and do things to it that maybe you could fix things about your original that you didn't like, or you could explore making changes that you wish you could have always made.
Now, when you do that kind of that IR simulation, what do you guys recommend for your settings? Do you set the amp up the way you like it to sound, or do you want, like, everything at noon?
Well, you would just take the speaker jack out of the back of the twin and plug it into a neutral power amp. We don't want to hear the amp at that point. We just want to hear the output section, which is the speakers, right? So we've modeled already the preamp, the power amp, and we're going to take those out of the equation now and just listen to the speakers.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right.
So yeah, I mean, to be honest, the cab is a huge, huge component of what makes one specimen of a given amp sound different to another. I mean, you probably in your lifetime have had the experience of taking a favorite cab and plugging a few different heads into it. And you know how that's different from the experience of, you know, the reverse of that.
Right.
Of trying different cabs with your favorite head. You know, it's a totally different experience to keep the cab the same and try different amps through it than it is to do the reverse.
Well, so when you do the different speaker simulations, now you guys, I assume, have all kinds of different kinds of Alnicos and Neomags and ceramics and all that.
All over the place.
Now, if you're going out and playing live with an Axe FX, what do you guys recommend? Like, if you want to have a speaker combination that you think is going to best represent everything coming out of there, and what kind of power amp? Or does Axe FX have its own power amp in it? I don't think it does.
That's a great question. It doesn't. And I work, one of the things I do is customer service and artist service. And I work to come up with a thousand ways to get around the word recommend, because I really don't like to recommend one way or another, because so many people are going to have so many different preferences about this. So instead, I'll just sort of try and paint the broad different scenarios for ways that you would answer that question, right? The first is to say, I'm going to trust what comes out of this SaxFX because I've dialed it in on my studio monitors and I've checked it on my favorite headphones and I've used it in rehearsal through a PA I know and I trust. I'm going to take it to the gig and I'm going to tell the sound guy, give me two XLR cables, plug them into the back of this thing and give me in my monitors or my ears and away we go. A lot of people do take that route. They just say, you know, let's go direct with the full intention, meaning I've brought my whole sound here and let's just go with that. Now, naturally, especially if you're going to be playing in a place where you're not in control of those kinds of things, you might want to be a little more prepared. And this sort of comes into the realm of this whole new branch of guitar amplification technology, which grows out of PA systems or full range systems, and that is guitar speakers that are designed to be more like a hi-fi studio monitor. Full range flat response or FR guitar speakers are out there now in growing numbers. And another very, very popular thing that fractal guitar players will do is they'll use vocal wedges, you know, wedges that are designed for stage monitors or vocals. Either stand them up behind them or point those at themselves so that they get the experience. Of course, when the air is energized or when the guitar itself is energized by a loud volume amplifier, it behaves in a different way than when you're playing in total silence, right? You're not going to get feedback from a wedge that's, you know, 8 feet away and pointed up diagonally at your head in the same way you are if you turn around and point your guitar at a real amp.
Right.
So that sort of leads us to the last solution, which is that a lot of people prefer to come out of the SaxFX into a neutral power amp, which is connected to real guitar speakers. And those, you know, those may not be the speakers with the broadest range. Those are probably the speakers that you like the best for a traditional guitar amp. So you say, oh, if I had to at least have one real speaker, I'd choose this, you know, whatever the cab is or whatever the speaker is. I mean, there are a lot of really cool products out there too that are sort of maybe a little more extended range, you know, the Port City cabs with their excellent low end and sort of balanced response all the way around are really popular. Other people will take these sort of oversized detuned cabs and load them up with a speaker that they really love. A lot of people just use a traditional thing like a Marshall 4x12, or they'll take the cab that they used to play through with their amp and play through that. I mean, when I did all the rig design for Metallica, we absolutely had to have the real speakers and amps there to create the feedback that's required and to create the experience. And also, I mean, in the case of a lot of bands, the venue depends on a stage level for the people who are maybe underneath the house mains, right? So you have to have some kind of a stage level. So with those different scenarios outlined, the last thing I want to say about this is that a lot of people also combine these in really cool ways. So for example, they'll take, you know, actually I should back up because there is a fourth way. It's not so popular or common as the other three, but it does warrant mention. And that is to disable power amp simulation in the SaxFX and go out to a real guitar power amp, that is a tube guitar power amp, and then into your speakers. So use the SaxFX as a preamp into a tube power amp into speakers. At that point, you know, you're more in the old, or just as much in the old world as you are in the new.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it warrants mention because there are some players out there who do that and enjoy it very much.
Well, it had mentioned on it was on your website that Alex Lifeson of Rush uses your system, and I've read articles about his new touring rig. And his new touring rig, there are no speakers on stage. He does everything virtual. And then there's other people like Steve Vai, which I think he's doing what you were just saying, where he's taking it, using it as a preamp, and he actually sends it to amps and speakers. Are you seeing a trend now, especially in the bigger concerts, or of people trying to keep it virtual for more control and consistency, or is it still kind of a mix up of where they're integrating with amps, or do you think it's going that way where it's all going virtual? I mean, we're seeing a lot of it in recording now with Amplitude and iRig and all that stuff, but what's your take on that?
Control and consistency are really big parts of it. I think I mentioned earlier that cartage is another one. It's funny they all start with C's. The fact is that a lot of sound guys now are just thrilled when they see a fractal, because you don't have to deal with an amp on stage that's difficult to get into the mix because of its volume on stage. Consistency is another big one. I mean, we just published a video with the band Periphery, and they talk in this video about how thrilled they are to have their sound, right? And it's the sound of the song from the record that they recorded, and they're going right to ears. You said it, consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that that's a bigger trend? Yes, I do. I think that certainly the benefits of that are something that are going to continue to be explored as they're exposed to more and more people, as more and more people become receptive to the idea of something like an Axe FX, right? I mean, we've really just scratched the iceberg in terms of the new digital revolution here. As big as Fractal is, I'm just as likely to meet someone who hasn't heard of the Axe FX and who this world is all new to. I think that sort of explains why the company is still growing and why this market space is still growing. And I think that that's going to continue to grow. I also think that, for better or for worse, the music industry itself is changing, and artists are unfortunately more often in a position of less power, where they aren't able to declare what equipment they want to have. Maybe they're a sideman, and they're going to just come into a situation where things have to be lean and efficient. Now, that sounds like it makes the Axe FX the lesser compromise. Not at all. When this happens, what we find is that people come back and they say, oh my God, I never imagined that this thing was going to be this great. I thought I was coming into it because it was handed to me by a musical director who says that we have to have an ultra clean, ultra empty stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that trend is going to continue. I also think there's always going to be a place for people who want to make music the traditional way. And for this reason, like I mentioned earlier, the FX8 and other future Fractal products are going to continue to explore not only this new trend, but how it interfaces with the old ones.
Now, some of your work you've done a lot of work with different artists, and there's one in particular I was hoping we can get into some detail on with Dweezil Zappa, because I know from what I've heard from talking with Thomas Nordig that you spent quite a bit of time with him helping basically recreate the sounds of his father.
That's pretty funny. I listened to the Thomas interview after you contacted me about being on the show the first time. And I could be wrong here, but I don't think it was quite as much time as Thomas made it out to be. It certainly may have seemed like a long time, because we did work late into the night on a couple nights, but I don't think it wasn't a huge amount of time. The reason being that Dweezil and I just gelled. We're super friends at this point through the Fractal. And in fact, if it weren't for Dweezil and his relationship with Fractal, I probably wouldn't have never ended up working for the company. So we did exactly what you said. He called me out of the blue one day. He had heard my recordings of the Axe FX on a forum, and he had seen some topics I was posting, for example, about using the multiband compressor block in the Axe FX as a cool way to get a balanced sound that would sound more like a record. And he called me out of the blue. He said, hey, I'm going to try and adopt this thing. I want to get rid of this Twin Towers big refrigerator rig, and I've really been playing with it, and I enjoy it. Can I call you from time to time if I have a question? Let me think about that. Yes. So, you know, it was basically a friendship made in instantly over this incredible box, because I had only really owned my own Axe FX for a few months at that point. He was just getting into it. And I come to guitar technology from a background of sort of fearless gear creativity. I did a lot of synthesizer preset design and sound design and guitar effects design previously. And that's, you know, that's a lot like what Dweezil does and what Frank did. So we had to sort of recreate very, very things that were very innovative and unique, you know, effects that were used in unusual ways or in unusual orders or in rigs that had been created from multi-layered components, sometimes things that perhaps could never previously have been performed on the guitar because of the way Dweezil's arrangements of his dad's music were coming together would have to be created. I mean, we still talk all the time. Every tour that he's done since he's switched over to all fractal, I've been involved with working with him and, as he put it, helping him out from time to time. So, I mean, a great example of that might be the work we did time and time again in dialing in the sound of his Dynaflangers. The Dynaflanger was something that Frank used not for flanging, but he would use the envelope controlled aspect of the flanger being a time modulated delay line so that when he would play harder, it would detune further south, right? So it's going flat as you whack it. Run that in one amp, and on the other amp have a sound that's not doing that. So it would create a chorusing, flanging, really interesting effect. So when Dweezil and I first started working together, the Axe FX, you know, there were certain things that we really wanted to do that weren't possible. I mentioned earlier about how the products are always evolving. Well, some of the ways that happened is that artists and customers and players come to Cliff and they say, hey, wouldn't it be great if we had a way to do X? And through evolution, it came to be that we had all the tools that we needed to create this Dynaflanger. And I think in the greatest version of it, we weren't using the flanger block anymore, but a delay block set to modulate based on an envelope, just like the original had, with its output tone adjusted just so it sounded like the original. And it would do these quirky things, like after a while when the envelope threshold would come back up, it would shoot in the other direction, which, as you know, if you've ever played with the time knob on an analog delay, the pitch will go up in the other direction as it comes back. So we had to get all these incredible details right. I mean, that's just one example of one effect of the sorts of things we did together. Another thing we do a lot of is how to integrate the Axe FX with the array of pedal effects. Dweezil loves to continually explore new pedals. Thomas calls them his pedals du jour because people are always sending him new things. So we made this really cool system in his fractal rig inside of the Axe FX, where through foot switches on the floor, he can actually move pedals around. Are they in mono? Are they in stereo? Are they only on the left? Is the dry on the right? Is this pedal on the left, the right? I mean, it's an incredible routing environment. You could do absolutely anything with routing, and that's another big thing that we work on together. He did the Experience Hendrix tour last year. We dialed in some really cool Hendrix tones together. Actually, he just emailed me recently about sitting down to create some totally original creations for a new record he's going to work on.
Well, you know, it's funny, as I back in 2009, I was taking pictures of Dream Theater, and Zappa opened up for him, and I took pictures.
It's not like Prog Nation or Prog Tour.
That's exactly what it was.
That's actually where I met John through Dweezil.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's where I saw the Axe FX being used. He was using, it was a monster board because he had other stuff on there. But I took pictures of that thing because I was like, this is amazing. I want to see what this thing does. But it was an Axe FX, most of his stuff. And it was amazing what he was doing.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, I was quite impressed. I mean, it was, I'd never seen Zappa play Zappa before. But that was just mind-blowing for me. So...
Yeah, he's got his another one in the rig of his keyboard player, Chris Norton, now. I said the bass is next.
Oh, nice. Well, that reminds me. So one of the questions I want to ask you is that you mentioned that video you guys just released on YouTube. I believe it's that band. Maybe it was another one. But the bass player uses Axe FX. So how does Axe FX work for a bass player? I mean, does it work just as well? Or?
It works phenomenally for bass players. It's perfect for... pretty much any electric or electronic stringed instrument. A woman that I've worked with previously tonight was sending me the tone matches she did of getting her electric violin to sound like her, 300-year-old priceless acoustic violin. Bass is just a whole world in the Axe FX, and it's perfectly well suited for that. I mean, what a lot of people sort of unfortunately miss is that the bass amps that are in the unit are really not your only option, right? When you dig just a little deeper under the surface, a lot of bass players use guitar amps or slightly modified or amps that are based on guitar amps. The Axe FX gives you the ability to go and extend the frequency range of any of these amps and to shape the tone in that way too. So, I mean, I dialed in bass tones originally. The first time I really dug deep on the Axe FX with a bass player was with Paul Northfield, who worked on Moving Pictures and a lot of other great Rush albums back in the day. I was a huge fan. And Paul and I sat and he said, all right, Matt, well, here's how I would do this. I'd take this layer, which is a big, fat, direct tone, and then I'd do this. I'd take another really round bottomy bass amp, and now let's bring in another amp that has more of a mids and a gritty characteristic, and we just built each of these layers inside the Axe FX the same way a great bass rig would work. I did a great bass rig with Doug Pinnock from King's X, where he said, all right, Matt, what I do is I split my signal, I go into this Behringer 32 band graphic equalizer, and I make this really special curve, and that becomes my low end tone, and then I split off into this gear over here. I mean, you can basically recreate whatever your bass rig was. Now, we also just have a whole number of really cool traditional bass amps right inside the box. I mean, there's a model based on an SVT. There's models based on a tube preamp. You can create an incredible direct tone. There's all kinds of compression tools, and all the effects are perfectly suitable for bass as well.
So I'd imagine that sort of same concept goes for, for those guys that are playing 7, 8 string and just, 30 string guitars or whatever.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the poster boys for that would be Tosin Abbasi from Animals as Leaders. He gave me this great quote after he really started getting into the Axe FX, something like, as an 8-string player, the Axe FX isn't just an amp, it's part of the instrument, because I'm able to go and create the amp that I wish I had for these new extended range guitars.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty wild, and you don't have to worry about blowing your speakers, because, obviously a guitar speaker is not ready for an 8-string guitar. You have to get this, I would think.
Yeah, you want to get a special, that's exactly speaker. Right.
So, now maybe the new device you're coming out with is maybe the answer to this, but let's say, I don't know, let's say I've got a Univibe from the 60s. I'm just trying to come up with something. It uses its own little thing, and it's my Univibe. I want to use that. That's my sound, right? How do I incorporate that with the Axe FX? Because I see you have two inputs. Is it kind of like an effects loop that you have in there? I mean, if you want to use your special pedal or two that you really want to use, that you have to use.
Yeah, I would probably, with the Univibe, I would probably put it right where I would always put it, in between the guitar and the Axe FX. Treat the Axe FX as your amp. I mean, you could also run it in the effects loop of the Axe FX. Let's say you wanted to use go into the input of the Axe FX and hit the noise gate and a compressor and then into your Univibe, then you would run it in the effects loop. But otherwise, you could just put it right on the wire between the guitar and the Axe FX. It's a great platform for pedals.
Is that how you recommend, like, if people do have those kind of situations where they have pedals that they want to use, you recommend putting it in the line before?
Well, you know, I would try it both ways and listen to the difference. It's going to, you know, different pedals, and I know we're talking sort of specifically in an example about a Univibe, which is why I don't want to make a specific recommendation, because someone else may be using a fuzz face, right, which is going to interact with your guitar in a different way based on what's in front of it or where it is. Somebody else may be talking about some totally different pedal that they want to combine in some creative way with the virtual pedals inside the box. So that's why we give you the tools to do it any way you want to do it.
Now, on the volume pedal part of the Axe FX, how does that work? Is that basically, do you have the option to make that basically like a volume pedal, like it's your volume pedal on your guitar,
where
you can?
Oh yeah.
Or you can have it where it's basically at the end of the chain, and basically it's a volume of just everything and doesn't change your distortions and things like that.
Dude, there are so many ways to control volume in an Axe FX. It's scary. You can do anything you want. You've got a built-in global input volume that can be controlled by a pedal. So that would be your guitar, you know, your classic analog pedal right at the front of the chain, where as you push it forward, the gain is going to change. You can control the master global output volume, which is to say all of the signal through everything, including the effect tails, are going to, you know, pull away when you pull back on that. You can put a volume pedal at any point between any two other effects. You can put a volume pedal between the amp and the cab, between the cab and the reverb. Maybe you want it after your compressor and before your drive. There are virtual pedal effects that you can actually insert anywhere in your chain and attach pedals to with just a couple clicks. So, I mean, what most people like to do, I think in my experience, what most people like to do is they like to keep the gain consistent, but have the tails ring out.
Okay.
So in that case, I would recommend putting the volume pedal probably directly after the cab block in the Axe FX, which is the virtual speaker simulation. So you'd come in, hit some pedal type effects, hit an amp, hit a cab, boom, volume pedal, then your post effects, maybe your chorus, reverb, delay, that sort of thing, multi-delay. And that gives you sort of the traditional experience of what it would be like if you put the volume sort of in between the preamp and other effects that were in the loop of your amp in the classic big rig design.
Well, let me toss out a suggestion, because it would be very easy to do on the Axe FX, and I think it would be a cool thing for you guys to have. We had Frank Marino on, I don't know, probably 6, 7, 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And he actually talked about, he modified his volume pedal so that basically, you know, of course, when you lean back with your foot, the heel, it turns off, of course. But when you push it all the way with your toes forward, it also turned off. And what he does with that is he uses that to help create the effect that he's playing in reverse.
So yeah, that's really cool.
So it would be really cool if you kind of had that effect, because you could, you know, you could kind of do that if you had the, you know, a player that could actually try to simulate that. But that's kind of a cool little idea, and I know it'd be pretty easy with the Axe FX. But
yeah, you could build that already.
Oh, really? So you could just automatically modify that yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, think of it as like Sonic Legos. You've got all the parts here to build pretty much whatever you want.
Interesting.
Now, does he have a switch in the toe as well? I mean, is there some switches and physical switches? Because you might need a special pedal to sort of get this effect to toggle off in the front. I mean, you could also do it with a special curve here where we drew the volume so that it went up and then just snapped down towards the nose.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what he's doing. I'm sure he put a switch in it, because it sounded like he actually was modifying some, you know, like, you know, a standard Ernie Ball pedal or something like that. But
yeah, that's a really cool idea. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I was like, that's a genius. I mean, he still plays the licks backwards, but it helps, you know, create that simulation that it's doing that whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah, so it's not the same, right, as using a delay line to turn things around, because you're getting a much more controlled, predictable reverse effect. I love it.
Yeah.
We're actually making an expression pedal right now. We've posted a few pictures of the prototype, and one version of it is supposed to have a switch in the toe, so you'd be able to do that.
Oh, cool. Very cool. We're getting close to the end of time, but how do you take someone like John Petrucci? Because I know he uses this thing exclusively when he was out touring. How does he use this for his rig to basically simulate all the tones that he's done over the past 20, 25 years?
Well, you know, John is still playing through his Mesa amps. He uses the Axe FX in the loop of the amps as an effects processor, and he's also still using a handful of pedals, too. I have sat with John in the recording studio and helped him sculpt tones that do recreate all the sounds that he's using. But live, he still likes to use his amps. I mean, this is one of many different ways that people are using the product. You mentioned, you know, how you saw him play, and you're familiar with the stuff he does. So the other thing you know about John is that he's really a true artist in that he's always evolving, right? I mean, the band is still really, really growing and really moving, and he's just as likely to sit and create. I know he uses the Axe FX as a writing platform. We dialed in, I mean, his amps are programmed in down to the point where we have presets with serial numbers on them, like, you know, this is amp LL7652B, and here's the same model LL63591. I mean, it's that excruciatingly wow. Beautifully detailed. John live, however, is running his preamp, which at the moment is Mesa Triaxis, into the Axe FX, and then using it to create all of the other things that are going on.
Now, I've seen with his rig, and then of course with Dweezil's, now there's actual expression pedals that are color coded and stuff. Where do people get those? I know you guys are coming out with your own, and maybe that's the answer, but maybe you guys.
Yeah, that's going to be a great place to get them. I mean, pretty much any linear expression pedal is going to do the job. We've recommended Mission for years. Boss and Roland both make great expression pedals. I have an Ernie Ball 6505, I think it is. That's a great product. I've got this thing called I think it's DB Instrument, which is an expression pedal that also goes sideways that you can do some really crazy cool stuff with. I mean, expression pedals, the great thing about all the Fractal products is that they'll just calibrate the pedal and away you go. You rock it back and forth a couple times and it'll work. Like I said, linear expression pedals, meaning you don't want something with a too much of a taper to the pot, or the result will be unpredictable if you're trying to control some function other than volume.
Well, Matt, we appreciate you coming on the radio show, and please hang out once we go off air. We want to chat with you afterwards. But
oh man, I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and then tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, www.fractalaudio.com.
Awesome. Thanks again, Sweetwater, for sponsoring the show. And thanks, Matt. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Jeff.
Have a great week.
All right. Bye-bye.